Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, September 9th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 45, the first paragraph, Lack of Power, That Was Our Dilemma, through one paragraph ending, How Were We to Find This Power? Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's reader's 12 steps will be Leland P., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text will be Chanel T., Robin P., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Sunday, September 8th, is 21,725. That's 21725. And for this morning, Monday, September 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,726. That's 21726. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, Leland P. in Berlin, Germany, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leland P. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 45, that first paragraph, lack of power, that was our dilemma, through one paragraph ending, how are we to find this power, commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Chanel T. to read and then share with us.
Hi, this is Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful, compulsive eater, living in the grace of God. Here is the paragraph. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? So I'm going to skip over for a second over to the bottom of 58. Remember that we deal with alcohol, or in my case, alcoholic foods and behaviors. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. This reminds me, I was married to someone years ago who has epilepsy, and he had no choice in the matter. That is a disease of the brain, a disorder, a serious, it's actually a bunch of disorders in one of the brain. And I'm no neurologist, but I will tell you that we were walking out of a building, getting to my car, and he fell like a tree to the ground in one of his seizures on the pavement. You can imagine what that did for his head. And was shaking violently, his face, his body, all contorted in ways that you wouldn't think a human body would be. And it was terrifying for me. And he had no control over that. I have no control over the fact that I am a compulsive eater. I do not. It doesn't matter what I do. It's here. I have it. And it gets worse over time. His got so bad, he couldn't keep a job. He could no longer drive. It was wrecking his life. Turns out he got into a study through the University of Washington where this surgeon said, I think we can help you. I think we can relieve your malady at least enough that you can live a regular life.
And so he had surgery, brain surgery. You know what? Every day by being in this book, by working these steps, and I have to have a higher power to do it, higher power that's not my mom's, my grandma's, my higher power that I've decided will work for me and in me, I get spiritual surgery. I get spiritual surgery. And just as he came out of that surgery and was a different person because his life changed so dramatically, I am a different person, daily being molded into something that I actually like, because I never liked myself in this disease, in the bondage of it. He didn't like being in the bondage of continual, sometimes, seizures that were life-threatening, as is this disease. Let's not pretend. It's not just about a diet and losing some weight or restoring some. It's about life and death. This is taking me down. It will kill me if left untreated. And I have this treatment right here in this beautiful book laid out before me. And the higher power of mine is the answer to all my problems. Who knew? But that's actually the master spiritual surgeon for me today. If you're new, if you're returning, if you're struggling, don't give up. Just stay here on this meeting with us. I'm telling you. Stay in this book. Make sure you have a sponsor. Make sure you work the steps like your life depends on it. I will start being prescriptive and saying, that's what I do every day, and I've never known the freedom I have today. I'm not cured, but I'm free today. And my life, it's like it's a million times brighter and more colorful, even in the difficult moments. And I want to thank you. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Star 1, if you'd like to share.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Aaron J.
Aaron J. Okay, that's a great lineup. I have Sandy K., Deborah G., Sherry H.M., Jody E., and Aaron J. Sandy K., please go ahead, get us started, and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your service. This is Sandy Kay, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. In all the decades I'm in program, I don't think I've ever jumped to be the first person to speak. This paragraph is so important to me. The others are important, but this one especially resonates. When I came to program, I had no conception of a higher power. My father was an atheist. My mother agnostic. We were very proud to be Jewish, but we very rarely went to temple. And I had no conception, either good or bad, of a higher power. I don't think I ever thought of God. Maybe when my grandfather died when I was in college, but that's it, and that's very vague if I really did. So when I got to step two, came to believe in a power greater than myself, I went, oh, fudge. That's probably not what I said, but along those lines. What am I going to do? And someone told me, it could have been my sponsor, but someone said to me, just act as if there's a higher power and write down what you'd like your higher power to be. So I thought that was rather silly, but I did what she said, because I would have done anything she said, whoever, my sponsor anyway. She said, jump off the building. I would have said, when? I was that desperate. And somebody else said, when you act as if, like, start out small. You know, act as if you're always going to get a good parking spot. And, you know, these many years later, people like me to drive. I always get a good parking spot. So the other thing that someone said is don't push it. It'll come. It will come. And for many years, I was on a spiritual search. I did find a higher power, and that has morphed over time. And I think it's been the last 15 years that I've stuck and stayed with a higher power of my understanding. So if you're at atheist, if you're obnoxious, if you're an atheist, it doesn't make any difference. Just act as if. And I do know someone shared this meeting that the 12 steps was his higher power. So I always say, I don't care who your higher power is, as long as it's not you, period, my flesh and blood. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Sherry H.M.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, so much for your service today and everyone that's made this meeting possible, and all those that are going to be 12-stepping me this morning. I'm so grateful to have that. And I am Deborah G., compulsive overeater, anorexic from Arizona. And I realized, I didn't really realize before, but when I went through that first step experience, really in that experience with honesty, you know, seeing how I had no power and seeing how I was being honest with myself that I'm a compulsive overeater and that I have no power, you know, continually seeing that in what happened in my life because of it, and the unmanageability that happened because of it, and lack of power, finally came to me that that was my dilemma. Before, I had no clue because I was constantly trying to control it. So I needed to find some power. I love my sponsor. She took me through, and she said at first it was like a battery. You know, I got to get charged up because my battery is real low. And, you know, going through these beautiful 12 steps is I'm going to start getting connected to power. The experience happened just by taking the action of doing the work. You know, it was lovely. And I could see more and more and more that I needed to have a reliance on a power greater than myself because lack of power is my dilemma. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Sherry H.M., it's your turn to share, followed by Jody E.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered in Washington State. It was about a little over 10 years. I was just absolutely at my wit's end because I could not stop eating, especially sugar. And I thought, my gosh, what is wrong with me? I just would stuff myself. And even after I was feeling sick, I would still do that. And I was having all kinds of medical issues. So I met with my friend who I had met in Al-Anon many years before, and she was in OA and she, you know, kept off a lot of weight. And so that made my ears tingle. Like they say, come for the vanity, stay for the sanity. She shared me her, you know, her experience, strength, and hope. And then on the way home from that Starbucks, where I had a peppermint mocha, I just put up my hand, so to speak, and I said, God, please, you've got to do this for me. I cannot do this for myself. I've tried so many times. And so then I got a sponsor and tried to, you know, work the steps as hard as I knew how. I did not know about the big book being used for food at the time. So anyway, you know, I learned I had to do the work, though. I had to do the work. And when I got a vision sponsor, I learned that the steps were completed originally in like 6 days, 6 or 7 days working those steps, because otherwise sitting in a dirty diaper, so to speak. So, you know, got to get rid of that resentment, got to work through those fears, got to look at all that self-seeking. And so, anyway, by actually, you know, doing the steps, it was tough, but I leaned on God, and I'm so grateful. God has done for me what I cannot do for myself. And I know that, you know, this is not a program for those who want it. It's not a program for those who need it. This is a program for those who do it. So have a wonderful day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Jody E., please share, followed by Aaron J.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you, everyone, for being here, those who are serving, those who are attending, your savings. My life today. Thank you. Oh, yes. I don't know if I can say anything original about this, but I will just add my voice to the choir. I, too, was powerless over food, and my life was unmanageable. Plain and simple. I did not have the power to stop eating compulsively, to stop restricting, to stop trying to manage my weight. So I needed a power greater than myself. And I found that power. How do I find this power? I find this power by working the steps as they are outlined in this particular book. This book has always been so significant for me. From the very first time I picked it up, I knew I had found what I needed. I knew I had found really the secret, the missing ingredient in my life. And just to the extent that I work these steps and do as I think my higher power would have me do, does he enable me to match calamity with serenity, to stay abstinent, and to have a functional life? To have a life that is manageable. Hallelujah. I thought I would end up committing suicide sooner or later because I was so lost. So again, that's why I'm so very grateful, really, truly, to all of you, this program of Overeaters Anonymous, to this particular meeting, and to this book, which enabled me to find a power greater than myself, which I don't even fully understand, but I don't need to. My conception is that it's something wonderful. So I submit to it every day to the best of my ability. And with that, I do pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 45, the first paragraph. Lack of power, that was our dilemma through one paragraph ending. How were we to find this power? So after Aaron J. shares, I'll be taking some more names. So Aaron J., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Aaron J. from Wyoming. Grateful to be on this meeting. I love this paragraph also. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power greater than ourselves. Obviously. Yes. I think that's what keeps me, like two nights ago, I was up really twisting, and it's a Saturday night, but literally nothing can be done. And what is it? It's my recognition, as always, that I can't resolve this. I have an offer out to somebody. I'm hoping they'll pick it up. I don't know if they will. Here's Monday, so today is the day I could actually do something about it. That's like a test of a true addict, as someone else told me in these rooms. It's if someone gets a piece of mail at 4:58 or 4:55 on a Friday, that nothing can be done until Monday morning. A supposedly normal person puts it down and just calendars it for 9 o'clock Monday when office is open. The addict wastes the whole weekend worrying about it. And today I have tools that I don't have to ruin my whole weekend, and I didn't. But I did have a significant part of Saturday night, you know, wrestling with my lack of power. I don't know how it's going to work out. That's why I'm so contorted about this. Part of it also is I got the contact from a friend, and the idea was to share this contact. And this contact is like, no, I'd probably rather work for you. D, that means I kind of am doing something snaky-ish, which I don't like. And I can't afford, by the way, because when I have any kind of deceitful or even misleading type of things going on in my brain, it cuts me off from the sunlight of the spirit. I have to surrender because I don't have the power on this or any of the issues in my life or even on my plate. I have to be willing to pull out the measuring cup, measure that which seems so innocent, but it really isn't, because I'm confounded with 20 pounds extra that I don't want to have. And, you know, yes, I eat three meals a day. Yes, I don't have any recreational sugar, but that's not enough. Lack of power is my dilemma. And it's this book that teaches me how to connect with that power. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erin J. from Wyoming. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Patricia
Ann.
Okay, hold on one second. Did I hear a gentleman's voice there?
Yeah, I mentioned my name. My name is Fred. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Fred, and what's your initial, Fred?
V as in Victor.
Okay, very good. And who are the other voices there? I didn't really hear what.
Rachel L. Gaylene.
Rachel R.
Gaylene.
Deb E.
Patricia. Was it Gayla?
Ann.
Was it Gayla?
Gaylene.
Gaylene. Gaylene. And what's your initial, Gaylene?
B.
B, very good. And did I hear a Deb?
Yes, Deb E.
Deb E. Okay, and who
Ingrid
else?
Ingrid H.
Ingrid H.
Patricia Ann.
Patricia
Linda
Ann.
G. Ann, yes. Mm-hmm.
Jordan
O.
Who was the D?
Linda G.
Linda G. Okay, very good. Let's go ahead and stop there. I'm not sure we're going to have time. So I have Fred V, Rachel R, Gaylene B, Deb E, Ingrid H, Patricia, and if you could give me your initial when you share, and Linda G. I believe that's all we'll have time for, but I did also hear Jordan L. I'm going to put her on the end if we have time. So Fred V, please go ahead and share with us, followed by Rachel R. And let us know where you're calling from, if you would please, Fred.
I'd like to let Rachel go first. Women before men. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go ahead and take Rachel R. and then come back to Fred. Go ahead, Rachel.
Rachel, it's Rachel L. actually.
Okay, very good.
California. And thank you, Fred, for letting me go first. It's very gentlemanlike of you. I guess I was meant to be at this meeting because I am literally, I just wrote down in my journal what is my higher power last night, and I was talking with my sponsor about it because I wrote down what is my complex with God, or what is my complex with my higher power, and I sat down and, you know, wrote down why I have all these problems, and, you know, it was this long, long list, and I said, what is my higher power? And I wrote down what I would want in a God. And my higher power goes, you just did it, Rachel. And I was like, is that what it is? And she goes, if you wanted your higher power to be Steve the Rock, then it's Steve the Rock. As long as it's not you, then that's it. You know, it has to be someone higher than yourself that you can believe in. And I was like, oh, because I always thought it was this big, mean guy that you for things you did wrong. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And I didn't understand that it's someone that's there for you and guiding you and being there to support you and is your biggest cheerleader. And I just never understood that. And I'm sorry for the background noise, but I'm finally getting in touch with that spiritual side of me, and it has been such a blessing. And I know I've only been here, this is day 9 for me of abstinence, only day like 13 of being in OA. I can only imagine where I'm going to be in like a year, but it has just been amazing. So I'm finally getting in touch with my spiritual side. I'm finally getting in touch with my higher power. And I'm just sitting here meeting all these amazing people that are just, you know, telling me this stuff. And I'm like brought to tears right now. But thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass on that.
Thank you so much, Rachel L. from California. Fred V., it's your turn to share, followed by Gaylene B.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to share. I did not know that I would have that opportunity. This morning I was listening to...
And I'm sorry, Fred, do you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Sure. Southern California, the beautiful community of Southgate between Los Angeles and Long Beach.
Perfect. Go ahead, Fred. Thank
sure.
you.
Sure. Anyway, you know, it just reminds me once again that I'm powerless over food and that my life has become unmanageable. Last night I was sitting here and waiting till midnight. And the reason I was waiting until midnight was I wanted to wait until I could legally have a meal. And that's what I do sometimes. It may sound kind of ridiculous to wait till 12:13 or 12:03 or whatever, but I wasn't willing to write anymore. And I didn't write very much. I took the back of an OA birthday card they gave me in a meeting at St. Bridget's. This is a meeting that started in 1978 or may have started before and then was restarted, I was told by World Service. But I wasn't willing to do more. And that's... and called somebody in program. There are some people you still can call at that time, 12:13 a.m. And I called someone and said, this is what I'm going to eat. And I told that person. And I ate exactly what I said, except I added an extra fruit. So I called that person back at 12, whatever it was. I don't even remember, 12:30, whatever it was, and said, I'm going to have this extra fruit. Now, some people would say, oh, my gosh, why would you do that? Well, because I was not willing to go any further than what I did do. But you know what? If I was supposed to be perfect in this program, I'm not. I'm a human being. God, for me, the God of my understanding, is perfect, and I'm not He. What I mean by that is there is a God out there. However you want to call it, the Big Bang Theory, the guy in the white suit and tie, the guy with the sickle and the white gown, the guy with the long beard, whatever, Magic Johnson, whatever. But the bottom line is, it isn't me. And I can be perfect. I can strive for perfection, but I'll never be perfect until I'm gone from this earth. I don't expect to be on the other side anytime soon. I'm 77. But if I do go today, tomorrow, next week, God will be in charge of that. I'm not going to decide when I'm leaving this earth, nor I hope no doctor will decide that for me. Because if they're going to pull the plug, I'd sure like to have a chance to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe I'd like to plug in just a little bit longer. So, in our age of power shortages, I hope I'm able to in California. Today's the last day of our extreme heat, and God bless, we're going to drop 25 degrees tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, thanks a lot for everybody that's here today. I hope you got a little bit of a laugh. If you didn't, find something to laugh at today. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred V. from California. Gaylene B., it's your turn, followed by Deb E. Star 1, Gaylene.
I'm sorry, I was talking away. I thought I was unmuted. This is Gaylene B. calling from Idaho. Thank you for this meeting and for all of your service. It's wonderful to be here with you. This paragraph has always been important to me and felt powerful. I feel like I've always known who my higher power is, where he is. I just didn't understand his love for me and his willingness to help me in all things. I don't know, maybe my childhood upbringing, I thought that he might somewhere down the line gift me with being free if I could just get abstinent first and do enough, show him enough. I who would have thought that I could get abstinent by letting go and letting him? It was such a foreign concept for me. And I went to my first OA meeting probably 15 years ago, but got serious in the program 6 years ago. And I've had a couple of different sponsors. Everyone's been wonderful. But one of the gals said to me, "You're not going to do this perfectly. Just keep going. It's something that is done to you, for you, but with you." And that was such a new concept that I had to sit with. And as I worked the steps and tried to do my part, but let go of everything else, I realized I was really struggling with forgiving my parents for the abuse I was raised in. And I thought, I don't seem to really be able to forgive them. Maybe that's something that could be done, gifted to me, for me, but with me. And as I've gone through decades of trauma, a decade at least and a half of trauma therapy, I feel like my higher power did gift me with my willingness to forgive my parents. He helped me be willing, and then the forgiveness was given to me and my heart was healed and the ball of yuck was taken out of my stomach, that ball that I kept trying to eat and keep down inside. And then I was freed from this obsession to eat. And I have finally been able to reach a healthy body weight. And while I don't feel recovered because it's such a new place for me, I'm in awe of what happens when we let go and let God. I just didn't understand it when I first came into this program, and I'm sure I'm still understanding as I go, but what a great paragraph. Lack of power was my dilemma, and a power greater than myself could restore me. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Ah, thank you so much. Gayleen B. from Idaho. Deb E., please share with us, followed by Ingrid H.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Deb E., recovering and abstinent compulsive overeater in the state of Montana, and I am so grateful to be here this morning and to have a chance to share. One of the things that I think this book does over and over again and helps us, at least it helps me, because I am always forgetting what I've read before. It reiterates what was said a couple paragraphs back. We must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And here in this paragraph, lack of power, that was our dilemma. And a dilemma is simply a situation where there are two or more decisions or two or more answers to something or actions that we can take, neither of which are easy. And in this and elsewhere in the book, it does say, our choice is going to be, are we going to pick up this kit? Are we going to pick up this spiritual life and this spiritual program, or are we going to continue eating compulsively until we are no longer? This is the thing. In the next sentence, the thing that's important to me is it says we had to find a power by which we could live. And that concept that the power is going to give us life, it's going to give us a new life. And I have found that in this recovery program, that in being able to live in this life with the power, it is an amazing thing. Finally, the act as if slogan is a good one, but for some of us, it didn't work. My background training originally was in science, and I believe in experiments. And so when it came time for me to put down my way of doing things and give the spiritual life a chance, I decided to just try an experiment. It's like, all right, I'll just try it. Let's see what happens. And I was joyfully and pleasantly surprised with the concept that there was so much more there than I would have imagined just by letting go and allowing there to be something other than me. I now walk knowing that I'm never alone, that my higher power is with me every minute of every day, guiding me, helping me, supporting me. Whether it's food, relationships, or just a grocery store list, doesn't matter. And those are things I've learned in this recovery program, and for that I'm grateful, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Montana. And quick reminder, we're talking about page 45, that first paragraph, lack of power, that was our dilemma. Through one paragraph ending, how were we to find this power? So Ingrid H., it's your turn to share with us, followed by Patricia. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. Ingrid H., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from California. And so as I read this paragraph, you know, in the preceding chapters, I know that I've been shown about my disease, the allergy of the body, the phenomenon of craving, like the insanity of going back to the food over and over and over again. And I was shown that I was a real compulsive overeater, that I was dishonest, selfish, delusional, like food. I used food as a solution to my problems. And this paragraph is telling me that lack of power, that is my dilemma. And I have to have a power greater than myself. And what also stands out to me in this paragraph is the one word sentence of obviously. Like, hello, obviously. But that is my problem. And just obvious is like, right, it's like not subject to misinterpretation. It's crystal clear. And by the time that I reached this point in the BIT book and the depths of, and looking back at like the depths of my disease and how dark my life was without this power, it was very obvious to me that I could not do this on my own. I couldn't do it. I tried. I tried everything possible. And, you know, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the power that I have in my life today, and the power that is loving, that is compassionate, that is not like the punishing power that I grew up with as a child, like a power that is always by my side. And, you know, my problems are greater than the food, right? It's a spiritual malady. And when I rely on that, it's my life is just the lens, right? It's just so different, so different. And I have a great sense of peace, and I'm at ease with this power. And the fact that I don't have to do this on my own is like, just like, thank God I messed up my life enough, right? Like, I don't have to do this on my own. So with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Ingrid H. from California. Patricia, it's your turn to share, and please give me your initial and where you're calling from, followed by Linda G.
Thank you. My name is Patricia Ann, and my last initial is D, as in dog. I am from North Carolina. My power, the power of my dilemma, I've had a power greater than myself. I mean, I've had a relationship with God for a long time, and God struck me abstinent back in, I don't know, the 90s, and I was abstinent for a couple years, turning in my food for a couple years, doing the HAL program. Well, of course, I lost it because I didn't get into the program, and that's what my higher power has shown me. And through the vision sponsors and stuff through the years, I have come to understand that I have to put my recovery first. And this I just learned, actually, it sunk in my head in March. My recovery has to come first. That's what she kept saying to me, and I kept, like, forgetting that my recovery has to come first. My recovery has to come first. And now I'm only, 39 days sober or abstinent. However, my recovery is coming first. I stop and get on these meetings now. I am trying to make outreach calls, trying to get a God squad. I am doing the readings and writings that she's asking me to do, and I am living my life. See, I can have a higher power all I want, because I remember crying out to God, God, you're all I need. You are all I need. I mean, in every other area of my life, he guided my steps. In the morning, I wake up abstinent. Okay, so why at the end of the day I'm not? You know, God, please help me, please help me, please help me. And this is what I've been doing for years. And for a while I get absent, then I don't. Then I do, then I don't. Then I, you know, and it boils down to I never was willing to get into the program. I just wasn't willing to get another 12-step program, I should say. I didn't want to. But now, as I'm reading and as I'm doing the work, it's like, you know what? I need to help somebody else that's in chains. You know, my selfish self-centeredness, you know, tells me I got this, you know, when I'm down to my goal weight. Well, guess what? Then I'm not helping anybody that's still in bondage. And, you know, it's very selfish now today that I just read that today in one of my readings that, you know, I'm supposed to help other people that are in chains. And I'm like, you know, so I'm very grateful for this program. I'm very grateful for everything. And my higher power is leading me, and I'm actually paying attention and listening this go round. Anyways, thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. And Linda, we just have a one minute share. And I'm sorry, Jordan, please come back tomorrow. So Linda G., please share.
Hi, I'm Linda G., and I am in Mobile, Alabama, and I really need support. Is it okay if I leave my phone number?
No, not here. We do that at the end of the meeting if you've not done that before.
Okay. I am a compulsive overeater and an anorexic, and I am supposed to gain weight. And I am gaining weight, and my eating disorder is screaming in my head. I know I have to surrender to my higher power, and I'm doing that. But my eating disorder is going crazy, and I have to not listen to it and surrender to my higher power on a minute-by-minute basis.
Time.
And it's hard. It's really hard. I'm gaining weight. Is it time? I'm gaining weight. And
thank you so much, Linda. I'm sorry. It's
time.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Beautiful shares today. Thank you to everyone. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, thank you so much for your service, Don. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. Excuse me. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until